Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Erchin Daf Beis, Erchin 2a, pagination theoretically is 3, we have the privilege of starting the new Masechta. The concept of Erchin is a mitzvah that is in the Parshas Bichu Kosai, and the end of Chumash Vayikra. And the Ralbag gives a fascinating explanation to give insight in this mitzvah. The mitzvah of Erchin is that a person can say, either about himself or about somebody else, Erki Olai, or Erich Ploni Olai, which I imagine literally would be translated as the value of. But in the way that Erchin works, it does not pertain to the value, as in the slave sale value or something like that, of that person. It has to do with a fixed amount based on age and gender that the Torah outlines. And that's like a redemption amount. So the Ralbag explains that sometimes a person would want to pay his value or the value of a loved one to a charity, to the Beis HaMikdash, l'man yishmereyu Hashem v'chayehu, so that he should have this merit that Hashem should guard and give life for this person. It's a merit, a redemption of sorts, in a positive sense. We have, in fact, the Gemara recounts a case where a parent was giving the weight of the child as an expression of thanksgiving. So over here, the way it works in the Torah, Erki Olai, is to give this stated value for the person. The Rabbag says that we don't want the person making a vow to give their value, because if it was their value, a person has unlimited value. We don't want to compare the person's value to gold and silver in the billions. No, in the trillions. When would it ever be properly quantified? So the Torah quantified it. It's a token amount, a designated amount, and there's even a leniency how to handle it if the person can't afford. So the Mishnah states, Hakol ma'arichin, all people are able to make this declaration of erech, whether it's on them or someone else. V'ne'erachin, and everyone can be the object of an erech vow, meaning someone else can declare regarding them to pay their value. Nodrin, people can make vows. V'nidorin, and they can be the subject of a vow. Kohanim Leviim v'Yisraelim, Kohanim Leviim and Yisraelim, Nashim v'Avodim, as well as Nashim, and the case of a slave to a Jew in the time of the Talmud when such a thing existed. Now, skipping down to the Gemara, about 5 lines, the Gemara asks, Hakol ma'arichin, everyone can do this type of vow of erech. La'asuye mai. What's the word akol coming to include? La'asuye mufla samach la'ish, to include a child who is articulate. Mufla, to be able to express properly. A person who is not quite an adult, but close to becoming adult. Rashi says, Ben Yud Beis Shana V'Yom Echad, a child that's entered the 13th year, he's past his 12th birthday. And that Mufla Samach La'ish is also included in the rules of vows. Rashi says, Mufla Karile, what does it mean to be articulate? Al Shem Shebot Gimoso, because we check him, Im Yodea Laflos Lafarish L'Shemi Nadar, is he able to explain what it means when he made this vow? L'Shemi Hiktish, for whom did he make it holy? Now, there's an interesting description, explanation by Rav Sham Shem Rafael Hirsch regarding vows generally. How could it be that someone who's not yet an adult could have vows considered valid? And Rav Hirsch explains that the concept of a vow, by definition, its very essence, is something that I'm not doing now, but by making the statement, I'm able to influence my behavior at a future time. I'm influencing myself in a certain direction by something that I value. Simple case. I'm going to give $1,000 to tzedakah. So why is he making a vow? Why doesn't he just do it? The answer is, for some reason, right now, he's not ready to do it. He makes a statement that he's not going to eat chocolate cake after 1 o'clock in the morning. Gives him a sugar high, hard to go to sleep. So here, I don't know that he could do it this minute either way, because it's a duration type of vow, but it's definitely a statement now that's going to influence my behavior going forward in the future. And that phenomenal concept of a vow, I might not be there, or I might not be able to reach there, I might not be able to observe that yet, perhaps because the time hasn't come yet. But right now, I can influence the future. So then a child, as they approach majority, is already going to be bound by these things, because these things are going to affect when they are a legal adult. Entire concept of vows is, I'm stating it now, it's going to affect later. It goes into the general concept that we describe of self-improvement, where definitely if a person has a vision for themselves, even if they say Beli Neder without a vow, but definitely a person can influence their future behavior through vision, through leaning in that direction, such that within 6 months, for example, a person can literally revamp their lives, what becomes prioritized, even if they can't instantly accomplish that. Let's move on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues in its focus on the word hakol. Whenever it says hakol, everyone, who is it coming to include? So about 10 lines down at the two dots, hakol chayavim bisukkah, last word on the line, bisukkah. Everybody is obligated in sukkah. La'asuye mai, who's that coming to include? Regular observant age people, bar mitzvah age, are included. What does it mean, hakol, everyone? Says the Gemara, la'asuye katan shein atzorech li'imo. A child, at the time that he no longer requires the mother's presence, the Tanan, as we learned, katan shein atzorech li'imo, chayiv besukkah, is already obligated in sukkah. We have a concept of chinuch. Once they reach the age, there's an obligation of education. Once they reach the age that the child wakes up, rolls over, and does not instantly require the mother, they've entered into this age of chinuch, education. The Mefarshim comment that when you see these different hakols and the way they're defined, you'll get a sense of how the mitzvah works, what's considered important in the mitzvah. And indeed, the fact that the child no longer needs the mother and is able to go independently to the sukkah is a factor that actually plays out in a way regarding the way we observe sukkah. Really, the mitzvah is teshvu ke'en taduru, to live in the sukkah as you would in your home, and should include sleeping. There's a major heter that exists, that since in our climate it's not comfortable to sleep in the sukkah, which is a reason that people alone rely on, but there's another nuance that gets added on, and therefore a married man, if it would not be socially normal within the laws of ona obligations, even if it's not a night of ona obligation in a formal sense, but keeping his wife company might also be a factor, that might be a reason to absolve of sukkah, because I can't fulfill teishvu ke'in taduru. The expression that's used is that we don't have the wherewithal to build a separate sukkah for each couple so that they can have private time. The fact that the child is able to do this mitzvah independently of the mother, women are absolved of sukkah. They do so voluntarily to the extent they choose to, but it's a mitzvah sasesha as man kurama, a mitzvah of positive nature that's time-oriented. So once the person has independence, then we can obligate the teshvu kein taduru, and that's, in our Gemara, the case where the mitzvah of chinuch would kick in. Hakol chayovim belulav, continuing in the Gemara, everybody is obligated in lulav. What are you coming to include? If the person's an adult, they're considered halachically an ish, a man, an adult. What are you coming to include by saying everyone? It's coming to include a child who knows how to shake the lulav. A child who knows how to shake the lulav is indeed obligated. And again, over here, we have the concept that na'anuim, shaking the lulav, is an intrinsic part of the mitzvah and almost defines when we consider a person capable of doing the mitzvah. Picking the arba minim up alone, holding them, is certainly a mitzvah. But the mitzvah is not completed until the na'anuim are done. And therefore, we even have a discussion if the person did not make the bracha in a timely fashion and already picked up the arba minim and is holding them right side up, etc. Derech kidulam, in the way to observe the mitzvah. But if they didn't do the na'anuim yet, they have not truly completed the mitzvah. And that's what's being described over here. The child has to be able to complete the mitzvah, and then the mitzvah of chinuch exists. Hakol chayovim betzitzis. Everybody's obligated in tzitzis. La'asuye mai, what are we coming to include? La'asuye katan yodeh le'isatef, a child that knows how to rap. Detanya katan yodeh le'isatef chayiv betzitzis, and the father would buy whatever's necessary, the fringes to attach to the garment, and make tzitzis. Interestingly, in our time, the expression typically is that the child does not have accidents, the child has been trained. But that seems to be more of a practical consideration. The mitzvah is to be able to get dressed in the talis, to wrap yourself in the tzitzis. Hakol chayovim betfilin, everyone's obligated in tefillin. La'asuye mai, to include what case? La'asuye katan yodeh lishmar tefillin, a child who knows how to guard the dignity of tefillin, requires a gufnaki, a clean body. And at that point, the father would get the child a pair of tefillin in the description over here. Our practice, of course, is basically bar mitzvah with some degree of preparation. 1 month, 3 months, but some degree of preparation. Some even do less than that, but some degree of preparation beforehand. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.